for who you are. We bless your name. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us what it is you'd have us to know today. More about you, more about who you are, more about what you have done for us. Anoint your word, Lord, as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's so many things. The Christmas story is just amazing and it's beautiful in itself. But there are so many things that have been added or changed or misunderstood that sometimes even distort the real meaning of what's going on. So let's think about that for a minute. Can you think of things that have become tradition about the Bible story that really aren't accurate? The wise men. Here we have them. Symbolic, right? right. And if Dale were here, they would be over there, right? That the wise men did not come immediately. And I mean, really, the whole thing, we sang, that he was born in the lowly estate with, around animals. And we already learned that that's not really scriptural either. He was born in a very special place that was saved for special lambs who were born to be sacrificed in the temple. So yeah, the whole, manger and lots of animals and some of those things, not exactly accurate. Anything else? Yeah, it was not a dirty, old, nasty stable with cow poop everywhere. And, the Son of God was born in a very special, special place. Now, I don't mind the symbolism of this. I don't mind nativity scenes. I'm not saying throw those out because they're representative. It's not that we're saying this is the Bible story. No, it wasn't a barn, but it wasn't a place attached to the house either. That this was a special tower that was near Bethlehem that he was born in. What about the whole trip to Bethlehem? I mean, we envision, right? Poor Mary, 9 months pregnant, on a donkey, and Joseph traveling alone. That's really not how it would be. We don't know that we know she was pregnant, but, the whole idea is that they just got there in time for the baby to be born. And if Joseph would have made reservations, they would have had a place at the inn. Well, there wasn't an inn that like we think of hotels. And it says while she was there, the days came for her birth. So she didn't, it wasn't like, I doubt if she traveled 9 months. And they probably would have traveled with a group because everyone who was of the same heritage, House of David, had to go to Bethlehem because of the census. The term inn that a lot of the Bibles use really just means a lodging place, a place to stay, a house. They probably stayed with relatives. And the thing is, it really wasn't that they didn't have a place to stay. They came in late. There was no place for them. They went knocking on the doors. No, you can't be here. You can't be here. They had a place to stay. But think about what we've learned about the houses in those days. Was there much privacy? No, they had small little rooms all connected, not whatever. There really wasn't. Luke 2:7 could really be interpreted. There was no private room in the house for the baby to be born. That is probably more accurate. It wasn't like they just got there in time and, phew, her water broke and it was just a near disaster. It's like, God has better plans than that. You know, these things may not really matter all that much, but the biblical version tells us much more about the character of God. He just didn't leave this couple on their own to fend for themselves. He had a plan. It's like some of the traditions around it almost makes it like the whole thing was a big accident. And whew, they finally found some place so he didn't have to be born out in the field. I mean, that's not the God we serve. Now this morning our focus is going to be on one of the most important people in this story, and probably the one around whom the most false information has developed over the years. And that is the one that Allie sang about so beautifully this morning, Mary. There's a lot of fiction that surrounds this young woman. You know, I used to say, oh, a teenager, maybe Abby's age, but Abby'd be too old. She probably was closer. How old is Quinn? Probably a year or two older than Quinn. I mean, think about that. Because marriage took place very early for girls, 13, 14, 15. You know, by the time they were, you know, 18 or 19, it's like, yeah, they were. And part of that was people didn't live as long. They needed to make the most of the birthing years, the years of fertility, and there are some other reasons that we won't necessarily go into that are more cultural. But think of some of the things that people believe about Mary that aren't really biblical. If you go online, it's like after I had things, I thought, oh, I want to see what, I'd like to, you know, just check online and see what things is. Five things you need to know about Mary, mother of Jesus. And all five of them were wrong. All five were wrong. Do you know of any of the things that people think about Mary that are wrong? That she only had one child. And she stayed a perpetual virgin, that Joseph never really had intimate relationship with Mary. Now, that's not what the Bible says. We're going to look at some things. The brothers of Jesus are named. We know that Jude, who wrote the book of Jude, and James, who wrote the book of James, were brothers of Jesus. Now, they didn't come to be believers until after he rose from the dead. But he did have brothers and sisters. So Mary had other children. Anything else about Mary? No, she did not have a halo. Jesus didn't either. And she was not holy. She was not without sin. People say, well, she had to be without sin because how could she birth the son without sin? Well, think about it then. If she was without sin, then her parents had to be without sin because how could they birth somebody who was, it doesn't even make sense. The reason Jesus could be born without sin is the Holy Spirit implanted Jesus in Mary. I do not even think anything of her biology was involved, other than he was placed in her womb. I don't think there was Mary DNA. It was Holy Spirit DNA. That's why he could be holy, Because if Mary would be part of it, that would be a whole different thing. There is even a belief that she died and rose again. I started digging into some of the weird stuff that people believe about her. And then that she, and some think she didn't die, but she went straight to heaven. Now, because of some of the weirdness around Mary, a lot of Protestant people, including us, probably just ignore her too much. Because there are some religions who elevate her to be one to be prayed to, and you know, that's just not biblical. But I don't think that we kind of do a disservice to the word if we ignore her and say she wasn't important. She was important. She was an amazing young woman, and that's what we're going to look at today. Grab a Bible. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1. And starting at verse 26, we know previous to where we're going to start reading, the birth of John the Baptist was announced, and prophecy was spoken about Jesus and about John. But let's begin at Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and we're going to read down to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. So what do we know from the Bible about this young woman? What's one thing? She said yes. She had found favor with God. Why do you suppose that is? She had questions, but it wasn't a doubt that God could do what he said he was going to do. Hers was, how can I have a baby when I've never been with a man? You know, she was thinking about that. And the favor, God knew her heart. God knew she was going to say yes. What else do you learn about Mary? That's right. She was pledged to be married or engaged, betrothed, totally different than today. Today you can be engaged and then you can just be unengaged, disengaged, just by saying, okay, we're done. Here's your ring. Made a mistake. That's not the way it was in Bible times. The betrothal was actually a legal agreement. And it was a binding contract that was done in front of witnesses that could only be broken by a formal divorce. The couple did not live together. There are some people who think that Mary and Joseph lived together before they were married. They did not. The couple was not allowed to live together, nor were they allowed to have sexual relationships during this time. If one was found unfaithful, it was considered adultery. What was the punishment for adultery? Stoning. So, wow. Now we learn something about Joseph. Let's flip back to Matthew 1. Matthew just gives a little summary. Well, this is how Jesus was born. And doesn't say a lot of the detail that we get in the book of Luke. But he says in Matthew 1, 8, starting at 18, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. He did not want anything bad to happen to Mary. So he was going to find a way to break this thing off quietly. Number one, so she wouldn't be stoned, or she wouldn't be humiliated, or any of these things. But it says, as he considered these things, what happened? The angel came to him in a dream and said, marry her. Don't be afraid. Again, just think about Joseph. God chose him because he knew. He knew about Joseph. He knew he could trust. I mean, think about that. How vulnerable was Jesus in the womb and in his birth and growing up? Extremely vulnerable is correct. He could have been killed at any time, yet God trusted Mary and Joseph with Jesus, knowing that he would be safe, that they could protect him. Joseph again believed this dream and did as the angel commanded. And it says in verse 25, he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. We know she was related to Elizabeth and Zechariah. What was her financial situation? Not good. She was poor. So was Joseph. Luke 2:19 tells us something that has always impressed me about this young woman. When I first read this, it was in the King James, and they use the word ponder. She pondered these things in her heart. That word means to think carefully before reaching a conclusion. There were things Mary did not understand. I think that song that Allie sang showed Mary was a young girl with emotion. She had fear, but yet she said, I'm yours, God. She didn't understand. She had a life that she thought was planned out for her. And then God says, just a minute. Here's my plan for you. She had to have known the Bible. Because when this was announced Messiah, she'd been waiting. She, not for herself, but she, you know, she didn't expect it, the Messiah to come through her, but she had been waiting for Messiah. She didn't question, like, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean he's going to save people? What do you mean he's going to be the Messiah? What do you mean? She knew all that. What was her actual name? It wasn't Mary. It was Miriam. Now, there's a lot of Marys in the Bible, and most of them, if they were Jewish, were Miriams. I have, and again, this is not scriptural, but I wonder, was she named after Miriam in the Old Testament? Think about the correlation there. Is there anything in the life of Miriam in Exodus that we can compare with Miriam in the book of Luke? What did Miriam do in Exodus as a young girl? She protected baby Moses. She watched out for baby Moses. And when he was discovered, made sure that he was cared for by his actual mama. Miriam, in the book of Luke, was chosen to protect baby Jesus. Kind of a cool picture when you think about that. And if we took some time to study that, there'd be more things, but we don't have time to go into that today. The most important thing about her was her response to that angel. She said yes. What did she risk by saying yes to God? Her life, really. She had to trust God. That she would be protected in this. Imagine going to her parents. Mom, Dad, I have something to tell you. I'm going to have a baby. But it's not Joseph's. It's the Holy Spirit's. How would that go over? I mean, her parents had to be, you know, godly people as well. They taught her. I don't, you know, there's nothing that says she was ostracized by them, and I don't think she was. She trusted God, and she trusted Joseph. That's not an easy thing. What we want to really look at today in this story, it's a beautiful story, and if we had more time, we would dig into some more of the things. But remember, our purpose in leading up to Christmas is to look at those involved in the first coming of Jesus and see what we can learn from them as we prepare for his next coming. So one question is, as I looked at this, what am I willing to risk to be obedient to God? Where is my trust level? in things that I don't completely understand. Mary thought deeply about these things. She had a lot to think about. Think about when they went to the temple, when he was a little over a month old, and the things we talked about. Simeon, Anna spoke over him. She surrendered to God. She said yes to God without requiring an explanation of all of the details. We like to know the details. Okay, God, if I do this, then show me what's going to happen. Instead of, sometimes we just have to obey that one thing and leave the rest in God's hands. And that's not an easy thing for us to do. And if we look at her life, we don't see much of her. We see her a few times throughout the story. When do we see Mary again? Yes, at the when Jesus did his first miracle at the wedding of Cana. You know, she said to the says, Jesus, you know, do something. And he said, well, my time's not yet. But he did it anyway. And she said to, she knew he was going to do it too, because she said to the servants, do what he says. So we see her briefly there. When else do we see her? When she lost him at the temple at age 12, his bar mitzvah. And there was another time she was pondering. You know, Jesus, what are you, you know, we were, you know, out of our wits' end because you were gone and we were worried. And he's just all calm and says, don't you know I had to be about my Father's business? It shows that they had taught him who he was. And so, you know, he had to be taught. He had to learn things. He had to learn to eat. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn a lot of things. And the Bible even tells us he learned obedience through what? The things he suffered. And I don't think that's just reference to the cross. He was in a poor family. Now, the translations say that Joseph was a carpenter. Probably not. If you've been to Israel, how many trees do you see? What do you see in Israel that they have a lot of? Stones. And rocks. So when it said, we've translated it carpenter in a Western thought, but he was probably more of a stonemason. So, and these little wimpy pictures of him, if you're dealing with rocks, you're not going to be this very, really, most of the pictures make him look very feminine. It will be awesome to see Jesus. I think one of the reasons he keeps his glorified body is so that we can see how wrong we were on all the pictures. But still, his glorified body will look much bit different than his physical body anyway. I want to just focus on, in the short time we have left, two powerful verses which jumped out to me as I was reading this story. One is in Luke 1:45. And I'm going to read it out of the NIV. It says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Who said this? Elizabeth said it. Now, isn't that amazing? Because right after, it seems like in the story, a few days later it says, Mary, after the angel came, Mary went to see Elizabeth and spent some time with her. How long was Mary there, by the way? Three months. And just think about it. I think she was there to witness the birth of John the Baptist. Because the angel said to Mary, Elizabeth is in her sixth month. Mary went and stayed 3 months. That's kind of a cool thing. But here, again, Elizabeth is prophesying over Mary. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises. That can be expanded to any person living. Anyone is blessed who believes that God will do what he has promised to do. Romans 10:11 says, as the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Mary was not disgraced. Even in her situation, that was, needless to say, very unusual. The Amplified says that Romans verse this way. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him, whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, will not be disappointed in his expectations. There is a key for us who are living at the end times. No matter how puzzling life seems, no matter how difficult life becomes, we have to believe God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Some of you have personal promises from God, and you haven't seen those yet. Don't let go of them. Because God, if it's from God, he will fulfill it. And we have to stand on that. When the world seems dark, we have to say no. Jesus is the light, and the light in you, the light in me, expels darkness. We cannot give in to darkness. Mary had no idea of what this whole future was going to be, but she believed. And her heart turned to praise God. In Luke 1, when she is visiting Elizabeth, this song of praise that comes from her, I want you to really pay attention. It starts to be about her, but it shows that she had an amazing understanding of God's plan. Let's read it together. Luke 1:46-55. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. It starts out personal, but listen to where she goes. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. That's straight from the Old Testament. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He's brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. How old was she? 13, 14 maybe? She had an understanding of who God was and what his plan was. She understood what was happening to her was part of the promise made to Abraham. She knew she had a destiny and a part to play in God's plan. And if you have said yes to God, you also have a destiny and a part to play in God's plan here at the end of the age. Ephesians 2:10 says this, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Some versions say before time began. just like he knew Mary and her heart, Miriam, and Joseph and his heart, God knows you. And he made a plan for you and things for you to do. And I have a feeling when we get to heaven, nothing else is going to matter except, did I seek God's plan and did I do it to the best that I could? Nothing else really will matter. Before you were born, God saw you and said, ooh, I got stuff for her to do. I got stuff for him to do. And the church has been robbed of that truth, I think. We have been so pulled by the world that sometimes we forget why we're really here. It's not an accident. God has a plan, a destiny in these end days. And just like he positioned Mary, he's positioned you. That's amazing. I'm just going to leave that right there for you to think about and pray about. The second verse is Mary's response to the angel. I'm going to read it out of the ESV. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. In other words, she was saying, let your will be fulfilled in my life. This young Miriam had the same attitude that Esther had when she went to the king. If I die, I die. The same attitude that was in Ruth. Your God will be my God. Tough decisions. The same attitude in little Samuel when he went to God. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. It doesn't matter how old we are, or men or women. The prophet Isaiah, when he had that revelation of God, and God said, well, whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, I volunteer. Here am I, send me. Throughout history, God has needed people like Miriam who will say yes. And he needs people today who will say yes, as he prepares to come again, and I believe soon. In Isaiah, the here I am word is hineni. It doesn't just mean here I am. It is a total readiness to give oneself to God. It is an offer of total availability. Hineni. Isaiah had no idea what was going to be ahead of him. But think of all the people in the Bible who said, hineni, here I am. I don't know what it means fully. I'm in. Use me. Think of people. Anybody who was anybody in the Bible had to say it. Abraham said it, Joseph said it, Esther said it, Samuel said it, Isaiah said it, many of the other prophets said it, Jeremiah said it. The question is, like Miriam who said it, and Joseph who said it, and Paul who said it, will we say it? God is looking for men, women, children, teens with the same heart of Miriam. Those who believe that God will fulfill his promises. Do you believe it? Those who will praise God like Miriam did in times of uncertainty and fear. That song she praised God with that we just read. This is before probably anybody even knew she was going to have a baby. She saw herself in a piece in God's destiny. And God's looking for those who are ready to make an offering to God of total availability. I don't know how many times I have said that and then made it conditional, maybe even not on purpose. This Christmas, will you say yes to God? The future's scary. Read the newspapers, watch the news. But if this young lady could say, according to your word, God, let it be in me. Be born in me. Use me to fulfill your plan. It's a scary thing to say that to God. But I will tell you this, it will be much scarier if we don't. Let's stand. Lord, we are so blessed to have your word and the examples in your word. Because they encourage us, because we know that if they could do it, so can we. If they can stand in dark times, so can we. If they could say yes to you, God, when they were afraid, when the unknown was really uncertain, so can we. And so I pray, Father, for each one, that as we contemplate what it means when we think of the people involved in your birth, Miriam and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, all had a part to play in the destiny. And Lord, I pray for a revelation that we would see that you have called us to play a part in your destiny. And as this year comes to a close, Lord God, may the next year open with a new desire in our hearts to say, here I am, send me. Pray a blessing on each one now, that they would have a awesome, Merry Christmas with friends and family until we can come back together again in your holy name. Amen.